In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. The last couple of times we've been together, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We've been listening to God's Word, where God said in Malachi chapter 3, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "Well, wherein have we robbed thee?" God's answer, in tithes and offerings. And so he says in verse 10, here's the promise, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." In other words, taking care of the workers, the full-time workers in God's house. "And prove me now herewith." Now that is quite a statement. "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." It will be such a blessing that God keeps pouring, God keeps blessing, God keeps meeting the needs that you have, and you begin to say, "I serve an awesome God. Look how God is meeting my needs as I am becoming involved in God's work." Now the key there is, "Prove me now herewith." Now, so many times we don't have financial security. So many times we look at money with the wrong philosophy. Somebody has said that money is the root of all evil. You know, that's not the Bible. It's the love of money that is the root. Isn't it interesting? The root of all evil. Now, what are some of the symptoms in my life when I have developed a love for money? Well, first of all, I begin to visualize what money can do rather than what God can do. See, God becomes little, money becomes big, and I begin to plan my life around my financial goals rather than around God's goals. You see, God has goals for each one of us, and many times those goals involve roadblocks. They involve curves. They involve 90-degree turns, change, shall we say. And many times, those changes affect our money. It's because God wants to get our visualization off the money and onto himself. You know, many times we have a goal of retiring with ease. Retiring with ease. You know, it's okay to retire, but not to a life of ease. See, that many times, that's what people think of as heaven. I'll just sit back and goof off and waste time and play golf and go fishing. And you don't find that in the Bible. See, as long as we are here, God has a plan for us. God wants us to be involved in eternal work. And our money is a big part of that eternal work. The third symptom of my love for money is when I'm relating success to outward gain of money rather than inward character development. Success. See, as I look at my children, am I looking at how much money they have, what kind of car they drive, what kind of home they have, or am I looking at their inward character that is being developed by the difficulties that they're going through? Is that what I taught them to do? See, because all of life is learning how to overcome obstacles in your life, how to deal with difficulties and how to respond. Many times people will say, "I'm making good money." And many times good money causes you to take wrong jobs, make wrong moves, move to wrong cities so you can make good money. And so often when somebody tells me that they're taking a job transfer because, boy, they just couldn't turn down the money, my first question is, "Well, tell me about the church that you're going to be attending." They have no clue about the churches there. Well, tell me about the Christian schools you're going to be putting your children in. Christian school? Well, I'm sure there's one there. They aren't sure there's one there because they haven't checked. See, that's not the biggest issue in their life, and it's often a picture of their love of money. Number four, it's studying the lives of rich men rather than the lives of godly men. So many people who are on the road to quote-unquote success are always studying leadership books and how to go up the corporate ladder, instead of studying biographies of godly men and women and how to develop their lives around that which lasts for eternity. God's Word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then what will happen? Then there's the promise, whatever you need, God will provide. But instead of that, when I develop a love for money, I find myself delighting in riches rather than spiritual riches. But the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold. A good name. You see, when you have to make a decision based on, will this help me financially? Or will this help me to develop a reputation for being a man or a lady of character, of good integrity? A good name is rather to be chosen. Did you get that word? Chosen. Than fine gold. Number six is letting the cares of riches choke out your time for God's Word. The cares of riches. Number seven, adjusting your ethics to avoid a financial loss. Yes, kind of changing some things and hiding some things. And sad to say, this happens in Christian ministries. This happens in Christian families. Adjusting ethics to avoid a financial loss. Or number eight, sacrificing friendships for financial goals. Financial goals. You know, many times inheritance money destroys sweet family relationships because money becomes the greatest thing of importance in that life. The love of money. Or number nine, striving for friendships with rich people instead of friendships with godly people. Who is it that you gravitate toward? Is it a godly person, or is it someone with riches that can benefit you financially? Or number 10, participating in the get-rich-quick schemes, you know, getting money without work, or depending on unsure things to happen, you know, gambling, that kind of a thing. Or number 11, building your family around a job rather than building the job around your family. I so appreciate men and women who will make decisions based on what is best for their family as opposed to what is best for their finances. And many times I discern that I've developed a love for money because I'm responding to a loss with bitterness, maybe even lawsuits, as opposed to trusting God and letting God take care of it. As 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, don't take other Christians to court over financial loss. And when you transfer your faith in God to your faith in gold, your personal wealth, that is a symptom that you are developing a love for money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Or becoming a slave of discontent and ungratefulness when things don't go well financially for you. You see, all of these lead you into bondage. And God wants His children to be experiencing financial freedom. Financial freedom. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that finances become God's classroom on faith. God's classroom on faith. And so many times, He has some very special things that He wants to teach us, but He is saying, will you trust me? Chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so in our lives, are we diligently seeking God in everything that takes place? When the question comes up, who will I serve, God or money? You can't serve both. You have to make a choice. If we decide to serve God, He'll then test that decision. Now get this. He'll probably ask you to sacrifice your most cherished possession. You remember when He asked Abram to sacrifice Isaac? Ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Because Abraham said, I've decided to serve God. And God says, okay, I'm going to put you to a test. Put you to a test. For us, maybe He gives us an opportunity to serve in full-time Christian service. Or some type of Christian service in our church. Or the opportunity to make extra money in spending time away from the church. Question, how are you doing on the test? How you doing on the test? Or how about He tests your response to financial loss in things that are beyond your control? How are you responding? Is it a peaceful rest? Is it trusting God? Or are you so torn up because of that financial loss that God is basically saying, now that's what I want you to notice. It's the loss that is causing you great gain. The loss of money. Not the loss of God. And so many times, when we are focusing our attention on the loss of money, God seems to become very distant in our view. Now let's share some steps in conquering the love of money. First of all, accept the fact that the conquering of the love of money is a continuing battle. Continuing battle. See, when you serve Him, the Lord blesses, And then, of course, comes greater temptations. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. And so, consequently, it is a constant battle. Secondly, God says, if you'll translate your losses as God's reminder of the futility of riches. So, maybe personal items are lost, or family sickness, or job loss, or whatever it is. You'll notice that God is wanting to remind you of the futility of trusting in riches. Then number three, learn to be content with the basics. Reduce your expenses below your income. Boy, that's something that all of America needs to hear, isn't it? And placing value on what you have versus what you want. Because somebody says, if you're not content with what you have, you'll never be content with what you want. And so you express your appreciation for the things that others take for granted. And as you do that, you are learning to be content with the basics. What has God provided? And praising God for that. And learning how to overcome the love of money. Be sure to join us the next time as we talk about learning the value of money and how it causes us to develop a heart for God. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to your heart throughout the course of these few Bible studies, and you know things need to change. Why don't you, before your day really gets started, why don't you just spend a little time with God and simply ask Him to teach you how to learn to trust Him with your money and with your life. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.